Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on Member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is the Ides of January, Anno Domini 2011, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we got news, views, stuff to choose, nothing to lose, and some real interesting news here. First, before we do anything else,
yes,
we do want to remind you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1, and in the spirit of that, our friend Scott Williams, those of you in the from Buffalo, those of you in the forums know him as Bon Vibre. Those of you in Second Life know him as Bon Vibre Gans. Gave us a donation, a very generous donation in the name of our friend Lolly, who passed away on the anniversary of her death. Who passed away
just this past December?
Yeah, and it was
serving
very,
our country.
Exactly right. God bless her. So we want to thank Scott for his very generous donation, it is the generosity of people like you, my friend, who keep this station alive and keep us on this station. So thank you very much. And I'm apparently getting a little teared up here, and that's probably not a good idea. So I'll move on. All right, for those of you, unless you've been hiding under a rock somewhere, you already know that Verizon now has the iPhone 4. While it's basically an AT&T iPhone 4 with a different radio, CDMA versus GSM, the engineers took the opportunity of redesigning the antenna while changing the radio to avoid the grip of death. Beyond that, it's the same phone it's always been, only on a different network, which is really kind of a big deal. Deserved or not, AT&T has taken a lot of hits over the years for lousy coverage, dropped calls, and slow internet access. One of the new features is the ability to use the iPhone as an access point for wireless Wi-Fi networks using the smartphone's connection to the mobile internet. That access point would be able to connect up to 5 devices. That's not available in the AT&T version of the iPhone. iPhone 4, as I'm sure you already know, features a 5-megapixel camera, LED flash, HD video recording, Apple's A4 chip, a 3-axis gyroscope, and a shiny glass and stainless steel design. Ooh, shiny. iPhone 4 also comes with iOS 4, Game Center, AirPlay, AirPrint, wireless printing. iPhone 4 customers have access to the App Store with more than 300,000 apps. iPhone 4 will be available in the Verizon Wireless Network beginning Thursday, February 10th for a suggested retail price of $199.99, or as we smart people think of it, $200, for the 16-gig model and $299.99 or $300 for the 32-gig model, with a new 2-year customer agreement. iPhone 4 will be available at more than 2,000 Verizon wireless communication stores nationwide, online, at the Apple retail stores, and at Apple-authorized resellers.
They haven't told us yet.
Hey, I'm sure. Well, that's what it said in the news.
But we're also a Verizon dealer, so we should get it from both sides.
Yeah, you should. So what does this mean for the Android? Who knows? Android people love their phones. I'm not sure how many will switch just because the iPhone is shiny. I suspect that what we'll see is an exodus from AT&T by those people who are very disgruntled by the lack of coverage in their area who have some other hate on for AT&T. But with new Android phones coming out in droves every month, it may not mean as much as it would have a couple of years ago. We'll see. So our question to you at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis Light would like us to remind you, is do you plan to switch to a Verizon iPhone when your contract is up? Your choices are yes from my AT&T iPhone, yes from my Verizon Android phone, yes from my non-Verizon Android phone, no, I love my AT&T iPhone, no, I love my Android phone, no, I'm Dave Enright and there are too many features.
Thank you. So glad I finally made it into a poll.
Guess what the winning answer is.
Me.
So far, it's no. I'm Dave Enright.
Yeah!
Apparently, most of our listeners are Luddites, which is counterintuitive, but there you have it. Followed by no, I love my Android phone. Just a couple of votes. Yes, for my AT&T iPhone, 1 vote. No, I love my AT&T iPhone, 1 vote. And nobody else voted for anything else yet. Now, I know that you're
going to
have...
I'm going to win.
It's not a contest since neither of us
yes,
are
Yes, it is!
Okay. You win.
I take it personally.
I give it to you right now. You win.
Thank you.
I know that there are those of you who would have more to say about this subject than just simply clicking in a poll, because for some reason Apple and the iPhone in particular engender deep feelings in the bosoms of everyone. So when you're done making your choice in the poll, take a look at the little yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you'll be able to join in on the poll, where currently we have 10 answers so far, 10 people who have given us their opinion. For those of you who are AskNick customers, I actually have found, finally, software that makes me happy, and I'm working with getting it up and running now. I just realized I have to figure out how to do the opinion page. That'll be interesting. But other than that, I'm beginning to figure out ways to do what I need to do without disrupting what you have now and yet giving you much more. We'll see. We'll see how that all works.
One of the other things that I want to jump in here, and we're going to be reminding folks throughout the show over the next 2 hours, is we want you to set aside March 12th. And you're going to ask, what's going on with that? Well, we're going to hold the first annual pancake breakfast. And it's going to be right here at Grease Olympia High School. So weather is not going to be a factor. And it's going to be from 10 to 1 o'clock. Now, from 10
What day would that be?
That is going to be March 12th. March 12th from 10 to 1.
And that's a Saturday.
Yep. And you know what?
No, what?
If you come, you're going to be able to watch the Polka Guys from 10 to 12.
Actually live Polka Guys?
Actually live Polka Guys. And from 12 to 2, you will be able to see us do our show right there in the cafeteria. And they're going to have all the pancakes you can eat, sausage, orange juice, and coffee. And like I say, Ray and Al are going to be doing their show. Who knows? Maybe they'll be even flipping pancakes when we go on. And before that, they might even see us in the kitchen or, you know.
I don't wait on tables anymore,
no,
but
that's
I will flip pancakes.
Tickets are going on sale January 24th, and they're going to be $5.
Is that all?
Yep.
And why, that's cheap.
And guess what? Kids under five and under?
Yeah.
Eat free.
No way.
It just doesn't get any better than that. And I hear tell that we might have some good giveaways. You know,
no.
You're going to have to stay tuned. And, yeah, we might have some great giveaways. You never know. Laurel Ann, she's just beating her butt to, you know, maybe get some stuff going
whoa,
on there.
Whoa, hold on. You're telling me you can come and watch the Polka Guys. You
mm-hmm.
can come and watch Sound Bites Live.
Yep.
You can see us flipping pancakes.
Scary.
You can get prizes.
I don't know.
You can eat for $5 a person.
Yep.
I don't know how much.
That's just not possible.
I'm
is
not
it?
Sure how much I'd want to eat while watching the Polka Guys.
Now.
But here's the challenge, though, folks.
Or while we're on the air.
I'd rather eat than watch them. No.
Starting January 24th, you can start getting your tickets. Now, here's the thing. All right, we've always had this challenge kind of going on with the Polka Guys. And as you well know, it's a friendly rivalry. And what we're trying to do is spur up a little interest to see who can get more folks to come to this pancake breakfast, whether it's going to be the Polka Show or the Soundbites Show. Now, here's, and I was already talking this over with Robin, it's a very simple thing to do. All you got to do is when you call and order your tickets or get your tickets, have them swipe it with a yellow marker. Pink is going to be for Polka. Yellow is going to be, because they're white cards.
Right, right.
So they just swipe it with yellow. And you'll know that way we get credit. So when Rob goes to count the tickets, we're going to see if the Soundbites crew can beat the Polka Dots and the number of folks to get them to come to this pancake breakfast.
Okay, there's two things going on here. One is the ginned up rivalry that Dave continues to have against the Polka guys for whatever reason. But the other is, to be serious, this is one of the ways we raise money. We've
yes.
talked about this a million times. We are member-supported. We don't get any funding from the government, from the state, from the county, from the whatever. We get all our money from you guys. So if you are able to do something as insanely generous as Scott did and donate to us, that would be great in the name of someone like who was wonderful like Lolly. Or If you want, you can also, or instead, you can come to the pancake breakfast. All that money, of course, goes toward keeping this station on the air. So not only do you get breakfast and a show for a mere $5 a head, but you also get that warm feeling in your heart that you are helping to keep this station up and running. And what better thing can that be? And we'd love to see you all there.
And that's the one thing folks have to understand. This is all a friendly rival, you know, ongoing, you know, debate back and forth between the poker show and us. Al and Ray are fantastic guys. We love them to death. You know, and it's just a great friendship. And it's just one way, you know, to get a little competition going. But you know what? When it all boils down to bottom line, it's just you folks coming and, you know, supporting us, whether it's the Poker Show or the Soundbites program.
Right, and by us, we mean the station.
Yes, and we're all the same. There is only one station, and we all work for the same guy and the same cause, and that's to keep member-supported Jazz 90.1 going. And it's through your support and the fun that we have doing these different things. Because Rob and Laura Land, I mean, God bless them. They are coming up with more things for our show to do and other things to come with the station to get you folks involved. How many other stations out there? And remember, this is one of very few jazz stations that play jazz quite a bit of the time and bring you other programs too, but, you know, that try to find out what you as the listeners want. And it's all because of your support.
Oh, I gotta tell you about this other cool thing that, that I discovered this week. As you all know, I'm a Droid fan. And there's a product called Google Goggles, which you can use for a bunch of different things, like take a picture of something and see pricing and all that other stuff. Now, apparently, you can use Google Goggles to take a picture of a Sudoku board, and it'll solve it for you.
Yep, I read that.
How amusing is that?
Oh, geez. What fun is that?
None, but I suppose if you're stumped and it's just making you crazy to get that last couple of rows...
Don't they usually have the answer the next day?
If you can take the picture, yeah, but still.
On The Simpsons last week, Homer was reading a couple of books, already filled out Sudoku boards, and already filled out crossword puzzles.
Nice, nice. I've been doing Sudoku and crossword puzzles on the Droid, the Nook Color. And I happen to be a crossword puzzle fan. I love doing crossword puzzles, and I'm also enjoying the ones on the Nook Color. So
one of the other things, well, for birthday / Christmas gift, my dad's birthday is the day after Christmas. So,
isn't that sad?
He kind of gets hosed there. But my sister and I went in and got him a Kindle.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Is he loving that?
He's got to be loving that.
I mean, you know, no matter what the light or anything else, he can sit there and read it. It's easy on his eyes. It's nice, lightweight. And to be able to have the books right there, and it remembers his page and everything else, he's just loving it. Yeah. I mean, we turned out to be the heroes on that one.
You know, it uses that e-ink technology, so it's clear like paper.
Mm-hmm.
I was... I got a watch from a company called phosphorwatches.com, and they have an e-ink world time watch. And I reviewed it for them, and it was just, it's beautiful. It uses e-ink as the technology, so you can set it to look like different things. It's just essentially a tiny little computer monitor, but it uses almost no energy. As you know, e-inks don't, and it just flickers when it changes the time. And it's a beautiful, beautiful watch. You can see them at phosphorwatches.com. Very, very nice watch. I did complain that it doesn't, the model they sent me, which of course I'm sending back, but the model they sent me didn't have an alarm. And I thought, what's the point of an electronic watch that doesn't have an alarm in it? What's the point of that? And they haven't answered me on that, but I really do like the watch itself. It's very pretty.
The watch is supposed to tell you the time, and it does.
Well, and it does, and that's really kind of all it does. And they're very nice-looking watches. They're very bold, very striking.
They're very expensive.
Well, that's neither here nor there, since I didn't actually buy one.
And we want to remind folks, if you have a computer question, you can call us at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. You know, otherwise we're just going to keep blabbling on here, and
it's your fault if we keep if we keep chit chatting away, because that's the way this works.
Yeah, it's talk radio, and we need you folks to give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. Bring call up with your computer questions, and if we don't know something, we'll make it up. That's no problem. We had quite a lively crew last night in Second Life. Matter of fact, there was one lady from Holland, and she was having an issue. And it's really weird in that she was, her graphics, she got a brand new, what was it, GT 940 graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's running Windows 7, 4 gig of memory, terabyte hard drive, the whole nine yards. She's got a real sweet machine. 3D graphics works fine.
Okay. No problem then. Thanks for calling.
2D graphics, she gets all kinds of lines and spots.
Really?
And, you know, talk about being bad words. That is really weird, because usually, you know, 2D graphics will work fine, then 3D graphics go to...
Yeah.
But no.
It's got to be something wrong with the card. It's got to be. Well, or the driver.
Well, that's what I was wondering. The driver, that's why I was trying to have her, you know, lower, you know, the resolution and that, knock it down. She goes, did that, tried that. And I was, you know, starting to do a little research, but yeah. I think it's a combination driver slash the video card.
What's her operating system?
Windows 7.
64-bit?
64-bit.
There you go.
I tend to think, and from what I've been reading so far, I mean, I just did preliminaries last night. It was late and had a couple other things to do. I'm thinking it's the driver.
Yeah.
More towards the driver. Not necessarily the card, because the card's handling 3D graphics.
Yeah.
But 64-bit. That's what folks have to realize.
Yeah.
64-bit technology right now, folks, is cutting edge. They have finally just made it over. Windows 7 finally got us out of, you know, finally pushed us over the edge to get us out of 32-bit into 64-bit. And more folks are converting to 64-bit and loving it.
I've been running 64-bit for I can't tell you how many years under Linux.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast.
Yes.
It's ridiculously
fast. Well, that's
fast.
What slowly the folks in Windows are learning.
Yeah.
They're coming from XP, going to, you know, skipping Vista, which is just another version of ME, and going from Vista right over to, Windows 7.
On the IRC chat, Melanie has asked, is 64-bit really that much faster? Yes, Melanie, it is. I won't say it's twice as fast, but it certainly is faster if everything you're running is really 64-bit. If you're running a combination of 32 and 64-bit stuff like you mostly do in Windows anyway, you're not really going to get the same benefit you do when everything is 64-bit. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we... our soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Remember, you can call us at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Bob did from Rush, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
I'm looking forward to that breakfast. It sounds like a real good time.
We'll see you there at that breakfast. What's the date on that breakfast?
I have a question about Linux.
March 12th.
Okay. I inherited an old computer. I've got plenty of computers of my own running Microsoft, but I'd like to get my feet wet using Linux.
Sure.
Now, I went onto the web, and there are just so many distributions. What would you suggest for a guy like me who's never knows nothing about it and would like to get started?
There's a couple that I might suggest.
Okay.
And I'm not going to give you just one, because you should look at them and see what you like.
Okay.
There's Ubuntu.
Okay, UB. I saw that. Yes.
Okay. Ubuntu is a good one.
Okay.
PC Linux OS is another good one.
Okay, EC Linux OS.
It's PC Linux OS.
PC Linux OS, okay.
Right. And I'm looking it up because I don't remember if it's Linux Mint or Mint Linux. Linux Mint.
Linux Mint. Okay. Well, that answers my question.
And any one of those three is a good beginner's version of Linux. There are some nice features in each one. It seems that the best supported one right now is Ubuntu.
Okay.
And the one you'll find most, you know, if you go look at an article on Linux somewhere,
okay,
they'll almost always mention Ubuntu.
Okay. I was impressed with their website. It was quite thorough.
Yeah.
And they had very good instructions for how to download it and also how to burn a CD and the whole bit. So yep. I guess I'll try that one.
And you should probably, the doctor in the IRC chat reminds me, the next Linux users group in Rochester is the first Saturday after the third Thursday.
First?
It's like Easter, for God's sake. Don't you people just pick a date?
Yeah, really.
It's the first Saturday.
First Saturday.
After the third Thursday.
After the third Thursday. Okay.
So that would be just the Saturday after the third Thursday.
Wouldn't that be the fourth Saturday?
Not always. We have the same problem at Cider. Our Cider meeting is today.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. It depends on when the week starts.
Yeah. So our Cider meeting is the Saturday after the second Wednesday. Which is not always the second Saturday.
No, but it's not the first Saturday after the third Thursday.
Well, yes, it is.
The Saturday after the third Thursday.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
They could say the second Saturday after the third Thursday.
No, then it would be the following week.
Right.
So anyway, I don't know where that is, and I'm sure the doctor will type that in momentarily.
Saturday after the third Thursday.
Right, and then
and
they'll help
you.
Somebody's going to type that in. Or can you look it up? Where is it?
Thursday, January 20th, at the Galisano Academic Center at Nazareth College. So he's got buildings everywhere.
He's got buildings everywhere. He builds them all. He drops them like pigeon poop.
And it's lugor.org.
It's lugor.org, L-U-G-O-R, the Linux Users Group of Rochester. And they'll be at Nazareth College at the Galisano Academic Center. You still there? Nope. Apparently Bob is gone. I don't know what happened to Bob. Sorry, Bob. Dave potted him down or took him away entirely. Our next caller appears to be Jim from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi there, guys. Can you tell me what the best practices are for backup? I thought I was being pretty slick. I bought a Western Digital, some kind of USB drive that plugs in, and bought this package called Acronis, but the Western Digital drive just stopped working a few months, just like all the other reviews on Amazon said that it did for them. What's the best way to back up my home computer and least hassle-free?
There's something called the 3-2-1 backup that has been proposed especially for digital photographers, because their work is so critical. Basically, you want three copies of your data on two different media. So it's fine to back up to hard drive, but you should also back up somewhere else on a different type of media. And one of those backups should be off-site, so you can use an online backup service. Dropbox gives you 2 gigabytes for free, or you can pay for more space. Carbonite is an inexpensive; it's less than $5 a month for unlimited backup of your personal computer. So it's good to have an off-site backup in case of fire or flood, and your computer and the hard drive sitting next to it fail also. Hard drives are convenient for backing up because we have so much stuff now that, you know, trying to back up to CD, you know, would take dozens and dozens of CDs, and it becomes tedious, time-consuming, and we don't do it anymore. But any backup media can eventually fail. So if you've only got one backup, then, you know, when that backup fails, you still have your primary data, but you run that risk. That's why it's good to have two backups.
Right. The nice thing about a program like Carbonite is they guarantee your backups for you, and they will deal with any bad drives or whatever and make sure that your data are always out there. Right. But as Steve said, you should never have just one backup. You should think of that as your emergency of last resort backup, and you should have a local backup as well. And so if your Western Digital drive dies, the theory, well, unless you've moved everything off your hard drive,
then it's not a backup anymore.
Then it's not a backup. Then it's your only copy. So if the stuff is still on your hard drive and it's on your backup, now you've got two versions. So if the Western Digital drive dies, you can just buy another one and back your stuff up again. But having that third Carbonite backup, for example, something on the network, is probably your best bet. I personally back my stuff up to two different places on the web, so I do it a little differently.
So on a local LAN, either can you recommend a specific product for either something like a LAN-based hard drive, or what's better, to Seagate?
Well,
or
you
Western
can
Digital,
yeah, you can get like a Buffalo drive. A Buffalo drive is just a network drive.
Well, Seagate and Western Digital also make network drives as well.
Yeah,
there is no one brand that's better than any other brand. They'll all fail eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the worry is if it's too cheap, then it's the lower tier with lower parts in them, so it may fail more often or sooner. Google did an interesting study of hard drives because they deal with so many of them. After a test of several hundred thousand hard drives, they found about a 20% per year failure rate.
Wow.
So in the first year, there's a 20% chance your drive is going to fail. In the second year, there's a 40% chance it's going to fail. In the third year, it's a 60% chance your drive is going to fail. So you should always be rotating your backup hard drives as well.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep. And Acronis is a good backup program. What's that other one that we've talked about in the past? It starts with a C. Kober, something like that. Let me bring up our list here. On the Mac, you've got Time Machine that's built into the Mac and to do automatic backupping, which is nice. There's sort of a catch-22 in some backup programs. Retrospect is one of the granddaddy of the big backup programs. You can tell it to back up this folder on the third Thursday of the month and that folder on the second Wednesday of the month, so there's extremely powerful scripting tools. But if you just want to back up everything now, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, right.
And then what's the big one for Windows? ArcSoft. No, that's the scanner software.
I really, truly don't know.
Yeah, none of
my
us use Windows.
My brain has shut down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're looking to do it online, Carbonite, and then just back up any new stuff you've created so that every day the new stuff goes up. That doesn't take much of your bandwidth. It doesn't take a very long time. Happens in the background anyway. All your stuff will be there.
Cobain was the other one we've talked about in the past.
All right. Our next caller is Bodan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bodan. What's your question?
Gentlemen, good afternoon to you.
How are you?
I'm fine. A follow-up question from last week. Last week I called in regards to a super anti-spyware issue that I had. It was picking up something in my registry called Rogue Pollinium. And you gentlemen said, well, the best thing to do is to uninstall and then reinstall super anti-spyware. Well, I didn't have time to do that on Saturday because I had other things to do. And on Sunday, before doing the uninstall of the program, I actually went to the forums page of super anti-spyware program. And apparently there are a lot of people that are having this issue, not only my computer. So, and in a nutshell, I emailed the support staff of super anti-spyware, and I did receive after a few days a response. And they basically said, please update your definitions. It appears from your scan that you don't have the rogue, just a false positive. So the reason why I'm following this up today, if other people, listeners, who are using super anti-spyware as part of the security tango that you guys have, if you're picking up this rogue positive, they're suggesting it's a false positive. Your machine is not infected. It is not an issue with Internet Explorer, as I originally thought, because there are some people that say, I use Firefox and my browser, and I don't even use Internet Explorer. So apparently it was an issue with super anti-spyware.
Interesting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
So I thought I'd just pass that along to other listeners also, if they're picking up in the registry something called Rogue Pollinium.
That's what it's
excellent.
All about.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, enjoy your day.
You too. Hope to see you on at the Pancake Breakfast.
Well, Nick, I do have a question because people were calling Ray, one of the guys from the Polka Bandstand, wishing him a happy birthday. Did you actually wish him a happy birthday and maybe bring him a little cupcake or anything?
Well, we told him he could have some donuts.
Yeah, we offered donuts.
Okay, a little polka happiness.
A little polka happiness.
No, we even gave him an option: donuts or bagels. We
have
both.
Right.
We have both. And we asked him to just bring us some Five Guys, and he didn't do it. I don't know what the story is.
Well, you know what? I think he was waiting for some kishka because he wanted to know who stole the kishka.
Exactly.
There you go.
Later.
Thanks, Bodan. If you don't listen to polka music, you have no idea what we were just talking about. Who stole the kishka?
And I like my palladium regular, not rogue.
Of course you do. It's a rare element, but you're welcome to it if you want
Atomic number 46. I got a kick out of the Google Chromebook. It's the CR48 because yeah. that's the isotope of chromium
yeah.
they like.
Yeah. I want a Google Chrome notebook, and I do not have one. And I'd like anybody from Google listening to this broadcast to explain why we don't have any.
To test it out, yes.
That's exactly right.
I think we should also get from Verizon the new iPhone.
I want the Galaxy Tab. That's what I want.
Yeah, the Tab S without the the phone.
I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they were to, you know, say, Dave, here, you got to try this iPhone out for us for a while. I mean, they
Dave, there's way too many buttons on an iPhone for you. You wouldn't know what to do
with it. I still keep my other one.
He's got his
I got my other one. No. I got to have this one still as backup. You know, if I get too paranoid or overwhelmed and I get this glassy look like I did when I first went on the internet.
Like you do most of the time I see you?
No, when I first went on the internet.
You ignored me. I was standing there right behind you. I left. I could have taken the dishes. I could have taken the dogs. I could have taken the parrot.
Yep.
Whatever I wanted, I could have taken out of that house. You wouldn't even have known I had been there.
I wouldn't have. Nope. I admit it.
All right.
I gotta say, there's some really interesting rumors flying on the Verizon iPhone. You can pre-order it on February 3rd. It's available February 10th. But if Apple follows pattern, in June, the iPhone 5 is coming out. And so some of the rumors are that Verizon's not going to get the iPhone 5. And for everyone who buys an iPhone 4 in February, you'll have to pay full price in June because that's the way phone contract works. So a lot of people are going to wait until June.
Everybody's not going to jump anyway because they still have contracts somewhere else. So, you know, most people are probably going to wait, which means that by February 6th, they'll be deeming the iPhone a failure on Verizon because not a million units were sold that first hour, right?
Yep.
People. Yeah, the heck with them.
If it wasn't for people, we could get a lot of work done.
I know it. All right, our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dennis. What's your question?
I have both browsers on my Windows 7 desktop, and Internet Explorer and Firefox 3.6.13. When I do printing of stuff, HTML stuff, I've got to go over to Internet Explorer because otherwise Firefox, the print is way too small, and I've tried different things to get it to print the way I want, but I can't seem to do anything. Internet Explorer just prints everything the way it looks on my monitor, so I'm not sure what to do with Firefox to get it to print the way it looks like on my monitor.
Well, the problem is that web pages are designed for screens, not printers, so a lot of times it's going to look bad on your printer, so most websites will have a printable version that will open up just the raw article without all the extra ads, without all the hard line breaks in to let it print better.
Well, even like say I go to my ESL Federal Credit Union website and they have a print page thing, so it gives me a special page.
Right.
I can take Internet Explorer and I can print it, and it's nice size. It's readable. I print with Firefox and it's like, half the page, and it's so, you know, it's very tiny. Is there anything in Firefox?
Check your page setup. What happens frequently is when you open a web page, when they design the web page, there's no paper size. So say the web page is, you know, 20 inches wide. And so when Firefox prints it, it says, oh, you're printing on 8-inch paper? I have to shrink this 20-inch document to fit on the 8-inch paper. So you might want to make sure you've told Firefox your page size. The scaling factor, turn scaling off so that it doesn't try to shrink that oversized website to fit on a piece of paper.
Right. If you go to print preview, you can see that you can set the size of the page. If you've reduced the size of that page, it's going to print out smaller. If you set it to 100%, that should help. And again, as Steve said, make sure that the Firefox understands the print size. The page size is 8.5 by 11. Often with Firefox, it comes up as an A4 page or something else, and prints out funny.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you very much for your help.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Our next caller is Dennis, calling all the way from Rochester, New York, hub of civilization in the Western world. Welcome, Dennis. What's your question? Apparently, Dennis is not talking to me.
Hold on.
Didn't we just have Dennis? Or is this another
We seem to have misplaced Dennis. Dennis, if you're on the line, hold on. We'll get to you in a moment. Or we'll get to somebody else. Or something else will happen. Or I don't know. We should just have people come to the studio and line up.
Might be quicker than the way Dave has to push all those buttons.
Well, you know, to be fair, as we've said many, many times, this studio was never designed for call-in shows, and Dave has to juggle and stand on one foot and spit jelly beans in order to get somebody actually on the air. So, unfortunately, every once in a while, confusion reigns.
He was our previous call. You never gave me the slip back.
Oh, I see. Well, why didn't you just say that?
I was trying to get the next caller.
I see you were talking to Nick from Brighton.
Yeah.
Welcome, Nick. What's your question?
Not so much a question as a bit of a correction with the whole Lugar meeting.
Yes.
The Lugar meeting is on the third Thursday. The Linux workshop, Lugar Linux workshop hosted by Interlock Rochester is the Saturday following the Lugar meeting, which is why you have Saturday following third Thursday, because today is the third Saturday, but not the Saturday following third Thursday, and the workshop is next week.
Okay, all right, let me get this straight. So for Bob from Rush, New York, who I hope is still listening, and of course, why wouldn't he be?
Yeah.
For Bob from Rochester, from Rush, New York, the actual meeting is this coming Thursday.
But if he wants help with installing stuff, drop by Interlock Rochester at 1115 East Main on Saturday. So it's just
next Saturday.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so he really, really should attend both. He should come to the Lugar meeting on Thursday. And where is that?
That is at Nazareth College.
At the Golisano Education Center.
Yep.
And I'm sure you can find that on their website.
Yep. And the Linux workshop is inside door one, just downstairs around the corner of the Hungerford building. That's 1115 East Main, basically right where Goodman dead ends the railroad tracks, intersection.
All right, so to recap, on Thursday, Bob can go to the Golisano Education Center at Nazareth College and learn more about Linux, listen to people talk about Linux, ask some questions about Linux. Then if he decides he really wants to install Linux, he could actually bring his computer with him to the Hungerford building on that next Saturday, and people will help him do that.
2 days later,
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just had to get the shout out for Interlock and all that and Luger.
Right. All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Nick. All right, I think we've got that.
Totally confused, but
totally confused now. All right, I'm going to go on to a news item because those sometimes I understand. Oh, and I love this news item. It'll be Man versus Machine Part 2 on Jeopardy next month. If Thursday's friendly matchup was a sign of things to come, the humans are in trouble. Former Jeopardy champions Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter lost by $1,000 to IBM's Watson deep QA-based supercomputer during a three-category Jeopardy practice round Thursday night. The trio will officially square off for $1 million grand prize during two Jeopardy matches that will air February 14th to 16th. Watson is IBM's latest supercomputer based on the company's deep QA software, which combines natural language processing, machine learning, and information retrieval. The device is packed in 15 terabytes of RAM, about 2,880 processor cores that can perform 80 trillion operations a second and is the size of 10 refrigerators. Next year, of course, that'll fit on your watch. Watson will have to rely on its self-contained databases for answers and won't be hooked up to the internet during Jeopardy Challenge, although we're not sure the same is true of Ken Jennings. On stage, a computer monitor will be the only part of Watson people will see, and just like his competitors, Watson will have to trigger a buzzer before it can answer a question. When Alex Trebek calls on Watson, it will answer in computer-generated voice that is eerily reminiscent of HAL from 2001 A Space Odyssey. Many experts are saying the challenges Watson had to overcome to play Jeopardy
are far more complex than the challenges IBM's chess-playing computer Deep Blue faced when it defeated chess champion Garry Kasparov in 1997, or Kasparov if you prefer. In chess, there are only so many possible moves you can make to respond to your opponent, and all your moves are defined within a clear set of rules. Jeopardy, on the other hand, will require Watson to handle a much bigger challenge. Decoding human language with all its nuances, implied meanings, and colloquial expressions. As David Ferrucci, IBM's lead manager for Watson, recently told IDG News, natural language processing is so difficult because of the many different ways the same information can be expressed. That's why the mere fact that Watson is able to compete in Jeopardy, let alone win, is considered a significant milestone for artificial intelligence. If you want to learn more, check out all over the net and watch the show
IBM
February 14th to 16th.
IBMWatson.com.
IBMWatson.com, which Steve is going to put on the web. And we promise when you're talking to us, you're talking to humans, as far as you know. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. You know, years and decades and hundreds of hours ago, hundreds of years ago, I marveled at Sargon, the chess-playing computer, that it actually played a decent game of chess. Now, of course, they went all over the place, and now their natural language processing is coming along. That's the next step in getting computers you can actually just talk to. You know, if you said to a human being, throw mama down the stairs her hat, they would figure out you actually wanted to throw the hat down the stairs, the hat that belonged to mama. A computer would throw mama down the stairs and then not know what to do about her hat. Natural language processing, hopefully, will make that less likely to happen. And, of course, Sargon, the ancient Babylonian king, et cetera, et cetera. He was Babylonian.
He still likes to freak me out.
Who?
Rob.
Is he working on the
board? All of a sudden I go to try and look at the board, and he's in here, you know, doing stuff.
Sure. Sure. He's probably sitting in the hot tub, working away. Hey, just people do dumber things.
Don't drop the phone.
Exactly. Maybe he's doing it from his get your iPad and log in and do it from there. I'll tell you, there's a bunch of interesting products coming out. I'm really looking forward to the rumored Nook Color update that should be.
Thank you, Rob.
That's right. Don't mess with Rob. He can actually start stuff running there on the board.
Yeah, he's got control of it.
I really am looking forward to the Nook Color update, which is rumored, and it is only a rumor right now, but it's rumored to be adding an app store for the Nook Color. Because the Nook Color underneath runs Android. So they're going to add an app store of their very own. And that actually makes sense because you don't want people to go to the regular app store where a lot of the apps are for phones. Or for, you know, there's no gyroscope in the Nook Color. There's no, actually there is, but there's no GPS in the Nook Color and things like that. So you would want to not have those things available in the Nook Color, because it would just in the App Store, because it would confuse people. But I'm looking forward to that update. Would love to see it. Would love to see it.
Maybe they'll send you one.
Actually, I will announce that on February 15th, I will be in New York City. The O'Reilly Tools of Change conference is going on.
Huh? What's that all about?
O'Reilly Publishing, they publish a million computer manuals and a million different books. They're having a Tools of Change conference, and I've been asked to speak on electronic publishing and using Nook readers and things like that.
Congratulations
Thank
to you,
I'm
sir.
I'm very excited about that, and in fact, they're going to give me a Nook Color as compensation.
Congratulations.
And the folks at Barnes & Noble asked me to come and speak, which was very, very nice of them.
Yeah.
Very sweet. And I'm delighted to do it, so that'll be February 15th. And I'll.
That's a Tuesday, I believe.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The only reason I know is my grandson is making his confirmation.
There you go. Man, I remember my confirmation. The bishop at the time was a family friend. You know, when they slap you a little, and I don't know if they still do it anymore. They used to slap you on the cheek as part of the ceremony to remind you of, you know, sin and all that stuff. He hauled off and laid one on me that almost knocked me over.
thing that is he's he's making it at Holy Cross.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I had to go for this one class because I'm going to be a sponsor.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, I see the name on there, the priest that's going to be doing this. And it's Father Whalen.
Mm-hmm.
I go, wait a minute. Is this the same Father Whalen I remember as a kid?
He'd have to be 147 years old now.
He's got to be up there because, like I say, I remember him as a teenager. He was just coming out of priesthood and just joined the parish, and it was, you know, not much older than me.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. It's like, whoa. We won't go there. Yeah, definitely tell him my age.
So some of the other speakers at this Tools of Change conference, Tao Gray from Wolfram.
Yep.
I'd like to meet him.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait.
Yeah. Or you can meet Ben Ha.
Huh?
Chief Cheeseburger from Icon Has Cheeseburger.
Yes, yes. Yes. And basically, it's
eclectic group there.
Yeah, it really is. Well, they usually are Tools of Change conferences about different things. This one's about publishing, electronic publishing, publishing in the future, really.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking about e-readers, particularly in a college, in an educational context, actually.
Matter of fact, talking about doing things, I like to remind folks, it's kind of new. Rob's sort of, besides doing this show, he kind of turns me loose on Thursday nights. If you folks have nothing better to do, if you put down on your calendar, Thursday nights for the next few Thursdays, I'll be on from 6 to 9, doing my own kind of jazz, which... I think I'm giving Rob some more gray hairs. So I'm meeting I'm meeting my goal in aging him well. So he's, you know, looks as old as my socks. But yeah, he's let me come on Thursday evenings from 6 to 9. It's been a lot of fun. You know, I've been sitting in kind of going through the library and discovering a lot of great jazz artists. So if you've got nothing better to do, please. And if you've got particular songs that you'd like to hear, or a particular artist, you know, I'm open to it because, as we told you, when we came here, Soundbites came here from jazz, I was totally new at jazz. And I mean,
you
just
couldn't spell it.
Yeah, really. And it was just last year getting into the Jazz Fest that it was like, oh my God, there is some neat music out there. And I had a blast at the Jazz Fest. And I can't wait because, as a matter of fact, that's going to be starting June 10th. Jazz Fest this year is going to be from June 10th to the 18th, and the lineup is going to be fantastic from what I've been told, but you know, I'll save those dates, another great Jazz Fest downtown, and like I say, I've discovered a lot of great artists lately, you know, just going through our library, I come in a little earlier, or that type of stuff, and pick different artists that maybe I haven't heard before, doing a lot of stuff on the web, and it's been a lot of fun, and discovering some really good artists, it's unbelievable. But a whole new genre. And if you got a particular artist that you like, by all means, email me, dave@jazz901.org, and give me your suggestions, and I'll kind of look into it and see what we can do on Thursday nights from 6 to 9. I want to kind of get playing all upbeat stuff. Nothing of this stuff that's good.
You're right.
Put you to sleep. No, you get home from work, and that's the last thing you want to do is be lulled to sleep. At least me, I like to keep going. And it's kind of hard. The winter months, let's face it. You come inside, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to go back. Oh, it's dark, it's cold, it's gloomy. I can't wait for spring.
Yeah, my musical tastes change depending on time of day and time of year.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely true. Somebody actually asked somewhere in one of the 90.1 tweets or on their webpage, if you were a DJ here, what would you play?
Yeah.
It's an interesting question, actually.
Yeah.
I thought about it for a while. It's an interesting question.
It's, you know, that's why I'm asking the folks out there. You know, I've had some folks call in request, and we've done our best, you know, to find the artist in that and try to locate it. Matter of fact, this past Thursday, Rob and I had, because I was sitting in with him getting some more training, we had one artist. She wanted this one song, and we couldn't find it by the one artist, but we found it by two others. And matter of fact, it was Billie Holiday. She wanted it, and we didn't have it here.
Lady
but we
Day.
Found she was. So I grabbed one of Billie's CDs when I was playing the 1 hour, and got it on. And she's fantastic.
There's
still
a woman
who can
sing. She was good. She was a great singer. So you know, you could give us a call too. We don't mind. The phone number is 96 in the 585 area code. The number is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, although I suspect that that won't be until after the top of the hour, because I suspect that it's about time for us to take a break.
Just about, yeah, we're getting close to it, you know, and but matter of fact, we just got Dave from Bloomfield on and told him to kind of hang on after we get through this top of the hour break. We'll have him on.
Sure, absolutely. All right, so we are going to take a break. It'll be a fairly short one. We're not in a big hurry to go anywhere, but we will be back after the top of the hour. You know already that you are listening to Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and me, Nick Francesco. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and we are proud and delighted to say that we are coming to you from one of the very, very few member-supported jazz stations left in the world. Not only are we a rare commodity, but the station we're on is getting a lot closer to unique. Right here, member-supported Jazz 90.1, back on in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of sound bites. So stay tuned and call in and all of that stuff. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 2 minutes after the hour, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415, and we will answer your computer question just like we're about to do for Dave from Bloomfield, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi. Where I live, I have to access the Internet via a Verizon USB modem with a 5-gig monthly limit.
Yeah.
And it worked great for the first 6 months. The rep assured me if I didn't do Netflix and Hulu, I wouldn't go over just doing, you know, accessing the Internet and just doing email, and that was true. After that, I started bumping into this limit, and the overage charges are incredible.
Yep.
So I doubled it. I went to the next business level for additional money, but it saved me the big penalties. And now I'm overing that. I'm getting, and I finally found a Verizon rep who went through the actual timing of it, and it seems to be when I turn my computer on in the morning, it's some program or maybe multiple programs are updating, accessing, doing something, because I've gone through the kids. Nobody's doing anything they shouldn't be doing. And so I went into the control panel, I look in the schedule tasks, and I find a couple of things in there, and I don't know if I can just turn those off without getting in trouble. Can I just do that without bollocking up my whole machine?
Possibly. What are the things?
Well, one of them says real upgrade logon tasks or logon tasks.
Yeah, that's true. It's the real player checking to see if there's an update.
Yep.
You'll see the same thing with the Windows update, with
Adobe
update, with
yeah.
the iTunes updates. Virtually.
And are those big data packages? Are they huge packages that would be overing my 5-gig limit?
Well,
they can be, yeah.
Yeah, and well, they're constantly checking, too, so that's using up bandwidth time.
And there was also a big revelation on the new Windows Phone OS. To keep your front page updated with how many messages you have, it trickles about 100 megs a day. So that can add up very quickly on your data plans.
What's the other thing?
Well, the other one just says OGA logon. I don't know. It's got a little character, a little icon, and I don't know what it is. How do I even explore that?
I
go to a scheduled task folder or go someplace else to look at what that is?
Well, you Google that name, and it tells you what it is. That's the Microsoft Office Genuine Advantage program to verify that you did indeed purchase Microsoft Office.
So you're not a thief.
If you turn that off, Microsoft Office will stop working because it assumes you're a thief.
Okay, well, I'm not going
to
do that then.
Yeah.
Let me suggest that you dance the security tango.
Okay, I do that, but I will do it again. I do that pretty regularly.
And follow all the steps, you know, do it in safe mode, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And do it if your kids have different logins than you do, Do it in every login.
Okay.
Because that, you know, and again, follow all the steps. That's really the only way to be absolutely certain you've cleared everything out. Because if they have different logins than you do, then there, in fact, may be stuff running that you can't see.
Now, okay. Is there a program to check, I'm asking Nick here, to check what's using your data? Because, you know, I can go to my network packet inspector, and I can see that I have sent 2 gigabytes. No, I've sent 12 gigabytes and received 2 gigabytes on my Mac.
Right.
But it doesn't tell me what program's doing that.
That's right. That's right. You have to run monitors in the background, which take up a lot of your processing
something
power,
like
so generally they don't do that.
Would something like Netstat be able to do that?
Netstat will tell you that under Linux. Oh, of course, you've got Linux there.
Yeah.
So Netstat will tell you some of that stuff. But for the Windows machine, I don't think there's anything.
I do remember a command that tells you what your open network connections are.
Netstat.
And what ports are open.
Netstat.
Maybe they have Netstat for Windows, too. So there are programs that will tell you what ports are open and what you could use a port scanner on your own computer to see what ports are open and what programs may be using network bandwidth.
Oh, they do have Netstat for Windows. I've never used it under Windows. Interesting. So you can go there and at least see what's open, but that doesn't necessarily tell you what specifically used your
and under Windows,
network at what particular moment.
Every single one of them will probably say Win32 shell.
Well, yeah, and that's the other part of the problem. Half the programs go through a single path, which is the Win32 shell.
So, the only thing the Verizon rep could say is something is updating as soon as you turn your machine on at 6:30 in the morning, and that's where the big usage is. The rest of the day, it's nominal or very little.
So it's probably all the different programs you have that are set to auto update and auto check for updates, downloading Windows updates, downloading different updates. The last the Macintosh 10.6.6 combo update is 1.2 gigabytes, and that's a single system update.
Did he tell you how much traffic that actually is in a month?
It's huge. I mean, a $700 bill last month from Verizon. I got to do something.
Yeah,
I'm going to turn something off. I just don't know what to turn off.
You can't use Clearwire or any of that stuff either.
$700? Yeah.
That's more than you paid.
Well, the other, disconnect that Verizon card until you really know you want to go on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody in
the
ouch.
Then as soon as it sees the internet connection, all those update programs will probably ask for updates.
That's my fear, that if I don't find out what in my computer is asking for the update, no matter when I plug it in. I mean, I already turn it off at night. I'm real careful about that.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Well, somebody in the forums recommended Wireshark. It's a network protocol analyzer, and it's at wireshark.org. That might help, but you really have to understand what Wireshark does and how it works and what
it
looks like.
Man, I would have been dead meat if it had gotten that high.
To get an answer.
Present a bill like that.
You were
that.
Dead meat already.
Yeah, and I know that was back when, matched the mortgage payment. It wasn't near that much.
Yeah.
My mortgage payment was a lot more than that.
They get you on that, it's $60 a month for 5
it's
gigs
cheap,
and
right,
then some
front,
ridiculous overage,
that,
yeah.
Yeah,
in
that's...
In fact, we used to be recommending Virgin's mobile broadband card because that was $40 unlimited.
Right.
And they have had to back off on that unlimited now because it got too popular and they're using all their network. So now that's going down to 5 gigabytes also. But at least it should stop. It shouldn't start charging you overages.
One would think.
Well, it's not how it works. Yeah.
It's to their best benefit to charge you overages.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I don't have a good answer for you. None of us do at this point, Dave. But I will look into that. We all will because now we're...
Number, we want to know ourselves.
We want to know. So we'll all, because Inquiry let's face minds. It, eventually we're all going to be paying by the bite. So we need to know this stuff.
And I gotta,
thanks very much.
Yep.
Thank you.
I got to see what I've been doing that I've sent 13 gigabytes up out of my computer to the internet.
This thing. Ustream.
Yeah, but that's low quality.
Not that low.
So?
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. I tell you what, well,
thank
we got short break here. We should mention again for you folks that haven't heard and definitely want to get in on it is March 12th. And what am I talking about? It's going to be the first annual Pancake Breakfast fundraiser for Jazz 90.1. Remember, we are member-supported. And Ron Laureland came up with this great idea that they're going to be serving pancakes from 10 to 1. And during that time period, it's the all-you-can-eat pancakes, sausage, juice, and coffee. But they're going to also provide entertainment. And what do I mean by entertainment? Well, from 10 to 12, the Polka Guys are going to be doing their show live right there from the cafeteria. And then from 12 to 2, Soundbites is going to be doing their show.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
On March 12th, which is a Saturday,
yep,
you can come here from 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They stop serving at 1, so right. Get here by 1. Yep. Really, it's 10 to 1.
Yep.
And you can eat all the pancakes you want for $5.
Yep.
And in the middle of all of that, you also get to see the Polka Show live and Soundbites live.
Scary, isn't it? Two shows for the
for just $5
price.
A person?
And we're feeding you.
Holy mother of pearl.
Yeah. So you want to definitely put down the
date. Why would you not come to that?
March 12th. Weather is not going to be a factor. Let's
it's
put
March.
It there. Yeah.
And we're Rochesterians. We don't care.
Yeah, but it's going to be inside. So you can't sit there and say, well, yeah, it was raining and, you know, or whatever. I mean, this far right. into March, you know, you definitely want to set the date aside, if, like Nick said, for a lousy $5. And the thing of it is, though, folks, we got this friendly rivalry going on between us and the Polka Guys. Well, I should say I do.
You do.
Thank you. But, you know, Ray and Al love it. You know, it's all to spur interest and get folks to come down and act. That's bottom line what it is because it's all supporting Jazz 90.1. That's member-supported Jazz 90.1. So if we can do anything to get you out, get you to come on down, I'm going to do it. And what I'm trying to do right now is see if the Soundbites listeners can beat the number of Polka listeners coming to this event. And what I'm asking you to do, starting January 24th, you're going to be able to get your tickets. And if you get your tickets and request that they be for Soundbites, they're going to put a yellow stripe on it.
Make sure you get that yellow stripe.
Yellow stripe. Polka folks will get pink. And we're going to see if we can get a little competition going here. Here's the other thing, and I'm going to put this up to you guys.
There we go.
To make this really interesting, we got to get something going as far as who wins what, do what.
And there are prizes, but the people who come, not only do they get breakfast for $5, all you can eat, not only do they get to see the Polka Show live, not only do they get to see Soundbites live, but they're also supposed to be prizes and stuff. So all over for $5, it's probably the best $5 you'll spend all month.
And the entertainment factor. I mean, Laurel Ann is putting this on, so you're going to want to stay tuned. You're going to want to get your tickets early.
I'm not going to promise to juggle, but you never know.
But, you know, you never know. We could be sitting there watching us even be in the kitchen and helping out there for additional entertainment.
Yeah, I don't wait tables anymore, but I'll flip.
And, again, this is all for $5.
$5 per person. I don't know how you can beat that. So, I simply don't know how you
can
beat
please,
that.
So, please, put the date aside. That's March 12th. It's going from 10 to 2, two different shows. 10 to 12 is going to be the Polka Show. 12 to 2 will be Sound Bites. But they will be serving pancakes from 10 to 1. So you don't want to miss that out on it. Like I said, it's all you can eat, pancakes, sausage, orange juice, and coffee for a mere $5. And it helps a great fundraiser of helping support member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All right, it's a great deal. It's an absolutely great deal. All right, I've got time. I'm going to read a news item. Apple will reward the customer who downloads the 10 billionth, that's right, billion with a B, the 10 billionth app from the iOS App Store with $10,000 iTunes gift card, the company said on Friday. Company's eMart for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch applications is nearing the 10 billion download mark, according to a live counter that Apple has posted on its site. As of today, nearly 10 billion apps have been downloaded from the App Store worldwide, Apple said on their site, that hosts the Flickering counter, so we want to say thanks. Apple has touted App Store download numbers numerous times since the marketplace went live in July 2008 alongside the debut of the iPhone 3G. Currently, the App Store offers software for the iPhone and iPod Touch as well as Apple's iPad tablet. Shortly after the store opened its doors, Apple issued a statement boasting that customers had downloaded more than 10 million applications in the first weekend. The App Store passed the 1 billionth milestone in April 2009, just 9 months after it launched.
A similar contest at the time awarded a 13-year-old Connecticut boy a $10,000 iTunes gift card, as well as an iPod Touch, a time capsule backup device, and a MacBook Pro notebook. That was one happy 13-year-old Connecticut boy.
Must be 13 years older or older to enter.
Yeah, exactly. At the counter's current pace, the 10 billion app should be downloaded sometime late on Thursday, January 20th, this Thursday. The Mac App Store, a companion market to the iOS App Store that deals free and for a fee software for the Mac, launched January 6th. According to Apple, customers downloaded 1 million Mac applications from the store in the first day. So our question to you, are you poised at your keyboard to download that 10 billionth app? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. You know, this whole app idea is really catching on. It started with the iPhone and iPad. An iPod, rather, and then the iPod Touch, now the iPad. Chrome is doing it with their Google is doing it with their Chrome OS browser.
Yep.
And they've been around for years, things like Gdecklets and things like that on various operating systems. But it's really becoming a fairly big deal now because people are realizing not everybody wants big, heavy things. They want little, fast apps that are just usable. Yep. They're more obviously, they're more for consumers than they are for producers, but most people spend their time consuming on their computer anyway.
And Microsoft is petitioning the patent office to have them deny Apple's patent on App Store, claiming it's too generic. Well, it's become generic since Apple invented it.
Well, yes and no. We've been using the term app for how many years, and then you just put it together with the word store, which has been in use for 100 million years.
Because, we're
lazy computer people. We don't want to say application.
Exactly. We've been using app forever.
So program is a little more popular because it's only two syllables. But we didn't shrink that to prog.
Well, I'll tell you, that's one other thing that I found for my iTouch was another applet. It's called Parking Meter. And I love it because when I'm downtown, you know, usually park out on the streets. And what a ripoff that is now in the city. They just wound up increasing the fees that you got to pay to park down there.
Yep.
Now you got to go up to this thing and get a little ticket. And you put it on your dash, and it tells how long you're good for. You know, and they raised the rates on that. It's now up to $1.25 an hour. But anyways, I've got this little app that on my iTouch, I can pull it up and say, all right, that I put so this much time, say, for 2 hours in the meter. And I just slide it across. So once I'm at a client, at any point in time, I open up my iTouch, and I can still see how much time is on the meter. So there's been a couple of times I just got out there with a couple minutes to spare, and it's like, yes, thank goodness for this little applet. It was really
I'm using apps all over the place, certainly on my Droid. On most of my systems, I'm running the developer version of Chrome, so you can actually open a tab and add apps to that.
Oh, cool.
One of the ones that I've really been using a lot lately is SpringPad, where you can you open up a SpringPad account and they're free, and then I can snip anything I want, you know, like a web page or a piece of text or whatever I want, and throw it into the SpringPad in its own little container. I've got one for sound bites and one for a startup company that I'm working with, and one for work, and blah 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 blah. And they're available to me everywhere, so I can pull stuff out and use it again, do what I want with it.
Oh, cool.
It's really a pretty nifty little program, and it's available on my Droid. It's available under Chrome. It's available everywhere.
So, I mean, is that like on a cloud?
Yeah, and it all lives in the cloud, so I can get at it from anywhere.
So no matter what device you're using.
I just log into my account, and I'm good to go.
I mean, that's becoming more and more popular is the cloud computing. As is another folks, I got a number of folks hooked on LogMeIn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the number of folks, you know, are using that nowadays.
And well, but even so, though, that goes to your computer, your real desktop.
Well,
computer.
Again, that's another free app. If you don't, you know, you're not into the cloud computing, the LogMeIn is another program.
I think we're all going to be in the cloud someday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the problem is we'll have to have ubiquitous connectivity and
well, that's the whole thing with the Chromebook. It's almost useless without internet connection.
Right, and for somebody like Dave out there in Bloomfield who's using that Verizon modem, he's not going to be able to do something like that. And I'm waiting for Chrome to wake up and realize that if they don't do something, to give us all connectivity.
Well, theoretically, the Chromebook comes with 100 megs of Verizon for free every month.
That's right. So maybe Dave ought to get a notebook.
100 megs is nothing.
All right. All right, we're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is Jan Niffler. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Now, she is
that
hot.
That woman has a voice for radio.
She could melt the airwaves.
She gives good radio. She's got a great radio voice. Not only that, she's terrific on the air.
Yeah, she
she's
is.
Terrific
she's
in real life.
Sweetie.
Nice lady.
She's
welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enrich.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have to be done lusting after Jan's voice now for a minute because it's time to go back to the phones.
I talked to her yesterday, and she said she was going to be listening today.
Hi, Jan. We love you in a very, very platonic way. Our next caller is Lynette from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Lynette. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. I recently had...
Whoa, gentlemen?
She's confused. I believe you meant to call the car guys or something. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, I recently had my computer. I took it in, and I had a new video card put in and upgrade to Windows 7 and the Office Suite of 2010, and that went well. But when I brought it home, now I have a new and different problem that I believe is from the upgrade to Windows 7 from Vista. The computer has a TV tuner in it, and now as I run the setup in Windows Media Center, it's only finding the six kind of over-the-air broadcast channels for the digital cable. It won't find all of the rest of my Time Warner stations. It gives me errors that say other TV tuners or signals were detected but not configured, and then I proceed, and it says it can't find a signal if it should be present. Check your cables. I've gone back to, it's an ATI 650 Theater Pro TV tuner card. I've updated the driver, and it still doesn't find any other stations.
Is there a setting in the ATI software where you tell it to look for ATSC or QAM or regular cable TV? There's several different types of tuners, and it sounds like you've got it set to ATSC only, which is over-the-air broadcast.
Okay.
You may have to change the settings.
I can look for that. The other, when it before the conversion, it was fine, and when the computer came new, the setup was, you know, just a breeze. So I don't even know where to go look for that. But I'm kind of pulling my hair out. And
the latest version of the, you know, you've got the ATI, is it the TV Wonder card?
Yeah, it's the Theater Pro 650 card.
Yep. There's a.
Theater Pro is different than TV Wonder.
Oh, it's the Theater Pro card.
Yeah, Theater Pro.
Oh, there's a new version of the TV Wonder software. I wonder if there's a new version.
It doesn't even, and I've done some Googling to see, and other people have the same problem. It never really tells you the right name of the card either, but I know what I bought and what's in the machine, and it is the Theater 650 Pro card. And I went to the, like I said, the AMD website and downloaded a driver that works with Windows 7, and I still cannot get it to recognize any of the other channels.
Yeah, there's got to be a setting in there somewhere. It may be in the card itself, if there's a control panel for the card.
Okay,
to tell
I can look
it
for that.
You have to tell it what kind of signal it should be reading. Whether it's ATSC or
And if it didn't
QAM.
Come with a manual, you might want to go to the manufacturer of that card and see if they've got online the manual that, you know, you might be able to download and kind of read through to where the settings and that might be.
You know what I might suggest? Take out the drivers from ATI.
Okay.
And see if Windows finds the card and installs its own set of drivers, Windows 7.
Oh, I see.
Right? And see if that solves the problem. You might want to go into the control panel under hardware and tell it remove the ATI software. Then
okay.
Go into the control panel under hardware and remove the card, not physically, but from the software. And then see if it refinds it again and installs its own software and see if that works.
Okay. I will give it a try.
And let us know.
Yeah, let us know, please.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, there should be something called the ATI Catalyst Media Center in your computer, and that's where you set up this ATI card. And so that may be what it's missing. It's set for ATSC, so it's only finding those over-the-air channels. It's not finding the rest of the signal.
Right, and in the process of doing whatever they did when they upgraded this and that on her machine, they may have reset the card.
It's brand-new software and brand-new media center, so it has to be configured for that card as if it were a brand-new computer.
Right.
Which is always annoying.
Yep, all right. That's often, who knows. Our next caller, it's really tough when it's a specific piece of software like this that we have never used, and I apologize for that. Our next caller is Stan from Greece, New York. Welcome, Stan. What's your question?
Hi. I'm having a problem getting to read my email because of some kind of an error, and it calls for my name and a password, and I never had a password to try to get into my email.
Yeah, unfortunately, you did. Almost. Where's your mail coming from?
Personal.
No. I mean, is it coming from? Hold on. Is it coming from Frontier or from Time Warner? Or from AOL?
Frontier. Yeah.
Yeah, you were given, because I have Frontier service myself. You were given a username and password when you first.
Set up your email.
When you first got your DSL modem.
Uh-huh.
And that's the name, and if you've never changed it, it's looking for the same name and password.
Uh-huh.
And so that should be theoretically written down on the paper you got, one of the pieces of paper you got
Frontier.
When you first got your DSL stuff. So if you've kept those papers.
Yeah, I should be able to find it.
Then you have it. Otherwise, you can call the support desk at Frontier, and once you've jumped through all the hoops to prove you are you, they'll change it for you.
Yeah, it states there's been an error occurred as a reason. Is that the error that I?
The error is you've not given it a username or password.
Yeah.
And so that could be because you reset something, they reset something. I mean, it can happen for 100 reasons.
Uh-huh.
But it just wants that username and password that you originally signed up with.
And when you set up your email program, you told it to remember the password for you. And
yeah.
So it's been remembering it, and now it's not. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yep.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Sure. We see that a lot. People think they don't have a username and password because they set it up so very long ago.
Yep.
One of the things that we recommend people do is to get a password program, like KeePass, for example, where you only ever have to remember one password. That's the KeePass password. And then every other password you can keep in there. And then you can just run that program. You have to get into it with a password so nobody else can see your passwords. But in the meantime, your passwords are all safe and secure. I personally remember about 48 passwords every single day. That's the number of systems I log into. But I have way more than that, and the rest of them I keep it. Because I can't remember them all myself. All right, our next caller is Chuck, who's calling from Holly, New York. Welcome, Chuck. What's your question?
Victor, right now I'm trying to load ABG 11, 2011, and every time I try to download it, it comes up with an error message that says connection failed. This application requires internet connectivity. And if you're using a proxy server, please specify the settings below. And it gives me port 80 and a server and a block to put a name with it. What is it they're looking for?
Can you get to other web pages?
Yes. I just downloaded this from CNET, and I have no problem getting on the net.
But
I had a problem getting updates for ABC.
So is the program installed, and you're trying to download an update, or are you trying to download the program?
Trying to download the program.
The program itself.
Yeah.
So you haven't downloaded the program yet.
Pardon? No, it's loaded out of the installation.
So you have downloaded the program?
Pardon?
You have downloaded the program?
Yes.
and you're trying to install it.
Yes.
And the error message basically says you're not connected to the internet.
Yeah, it's got a big flash screen, yeah. And it has the ABG logo and everything on the top, and it says, please specify your proxy settings. And then it goes on to say, connection failed. This application requires internet connectivity.
Right.
It if you are using a proxy server, please specify the settings below.
Right. Do you have zone alarm?
Or do I have zone alarm?
Yes.
I may have.
Or a firewall.
Or other firewall. Yeah.
Right.
I have other firewall, yeah.
Well, it may well be that you have to tell your firewall to let this product through.
Okay. Can I just momentarily turn off the firewall and try it again?
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, well, let me try that. Thanks a lot. Okay.
All right, let us know.
It may be that it downloaded a stub and is trying to finish downloading the rest of the program. I hate programs that do that. I want to download the whole thing. I'm trying to see if I can see here on the CNET page myself if it's downloading a stub or not. But that's typically what happens, is you download something and it downloads a little tiny program, and then... yeah, and that's what it does. It's downloading a stub. So it downloads a little tiny piece of the program, and then you run that piece, and it downloads the rest of the program from somebody else. So what's happening is you have to tell your firewall to let this little stub get to the internet so it can download the rest of the program.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Cindy from Queensbury, New York. Welcome, Cindy. What's your question?
Well, I wanted to say thank you for giving me the MS config.
Wait, we gave you an answer that actually worked?
Yes.
Whoa.
So
wait a minute, we got to write that down.
That I don't have anything starting up.
Well, it's our pleasure, Cindy.
My computer.
It's our pleasure.
Undercover things, but
right.
The three things that bothered me are gone, and it is so wonderful.
I'm glad we could make your day.
Anytime we can make you happy, Cindy, that's why we're here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. At my part-time job, we have Outlook, and that's how we get our email. And I thought it was a computer-based system.
Mm-hmm.
But at my temp job, I got, we got Outlook, the same email, on two computers.
Yep.
So I know it can be done, but she had to call IT to do it.
Yeah, here's the deal. There's two different ways you can download your email from a server. You can get to your email from a server. And the two protocols are called POP3 and IMAP.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter what the acronyms mean, but they're POP3 and IMAP. Basically, in general, the way POP3 is normally set up, it downloads all your mail to your computer and wipes it off of the server. So you can really only have your mail in one place at a time.
Okay.
The way IMAP is set up generally, it downloads maybe just the headers, but keeps all the mail on the server. So you can go to any mail program anywhere, connect to that server, and get your mail.
You can also tell Outlook, if you're using a POP account, to leave the mail on the server, and then you can download that mail on another computer also.
So it can be in two places at once.
And it depends on how you've got your Outlook configured, whether it's deleting the mail immediately or leaving it on the server for another computer.
Yeah, because I had one client that was doing it two different computers.
Yeah, and now it's common to have computers and then your cell phone, and you want to see the mail on all the devices.
They just had to make sure the second computer didn't get to it first, because that was the one where it's saying download it, whereas the first one was just taking a copy.
Right.
So you can tell Outlook to download the mail and then leave it on the server for a week or a month or however long you want to leave it there to let other computers see that mail also.
Okay.
Or if they give you the option of POP3 or IMAP, pick IMAP.
Pick IMAP.
And then your mail always stays on the server all the time. Typically, you need a much bigger server to do that.
Right. Some places don't give you that option because they don't want to be storing your mail.
And spam and everything else.
But in many programs, you can tell it, you know, leave it there for a while so that you can get at least some of it from another machine.
Okay. We have FrontierNet.net.
Okay.
They do not do IMAP. They only do POP.
Okay.
So you need to tell your Outlook program to leave the mail on the server so that another computer can get it.
Okay.
And it's only there for a limited amount of time.
And then if the problem ends up is if the mail server gets full, you can't get any more messages. So periodically you do need to have your computer delete mail from the server.
Or you delete each message by hand as you finish it.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
There you go.
I'm trying to find that setting in Outlook. It's under Tools Accounts somewhere.
Yeah, I prefer IMAP where I can get it. Because then if I change computers, not just, you know, using a desktop or a laptop or a notebook or my phone, but also if I buy a new desktop, my mail is still there.
It's always there, yeah. I've run into a customer that was using Google Mail, which gives you 7 gigabytes of storage space. Unfortunately, she has 25 gigabytes of mail, and it quit working.
Yep. What I discovered last week is that Google Docs is essentially unlimited storage. They give you 1 gigabyte of disk space, but any software that you, any documents that you create in Google Docs doesn't take away from that gig.
Wow.
So if you upload your Excel spreadsheets, that takes away from the gig. But if you create a spreadsheet or a Word document or a PowerPoint presentation, it doesn't take it away. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go to the next call, let's finish off with our last call to Cindy. Apparently, Cindy, the folks in the IRC chat are telling us that you can indeed do IMAP on Frontier. The server is imap.frontiernet.net on port 993. That's imap.frontiernet.net on port 993, which would leave all the mail up on that server.
But I think they only give you 100 megs of mail
I don't think it's infinite storage.
Yeah.
But it would at least leave some of that stuff up there for you. All right, our next caller is Gerd from Victor, New York. Welcome, Gerd. What's your question?
Well, first of all, I think you guys do a hell of a job.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year.
And the same to you.
Thank you.
Did you have a good holiday?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a good holiday?
Of course. Every day's a holiday. I'm retired.
I hate you.
Okay. I love you, though.
And I love you, Gerd. What's your question?
And the rest of the gang, too.
Yeah, love, in a completely platonic way.
Yeah, the love, of course, relationship.
Right. Just like with Jan. What's your question?
Okay, here we go. Super anti-spyware, main page, on the bottom of the page, it says find out what's running on your computer. Click on it, and you end up with File Research Center, which shows up. On the bottom of that narrative, it says click here to find out what's running on your computer. Next, you click here to install the Mozilla/Firefox plugin. Firefox doesn't allow this plugin, period. Then click to install. Then it shows an error. Firefox could not install the file at superadblocker.com.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Let's back up some, Gerd.
Sure.
I'm on the Super Anti-Spyware website at superantispyware.com.
Right. Main page.
Main page. And where is this thing you're finding?
Down the bottom on the left-hand side. The main page allows you to choose whatever you want it to do.
You're at superantispyware.com.
Yes.
Looking up in your
The bottom,
address bar.
Bottom left corner of the website is screenshots.
Oh, we're on two different things, I think.
That's my point. You're not at superantispyware.com. I don't know where you are, and you may well be able to download a legitimate copy of Super Anti-Spyware from there, but it's not the Super Anti-Spyware site. So I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, I have Super Anti-Spyware on the computer.
Okay.
And when I get to the page which I choose whatever it's supposed to do, it gives you like 6 different options. Bottom left, it says find out what's running on your computer.
Okay. And when you click on that, what happens?
Next it says, click here to install the Mozilla /Firefox plugin.
And what is the website that you're on when you get that?
Firefox.
So you're actually on the Firefox website?
Yeah.
Give me the whole URL, please.
I don't know how to do that.
It's right up there in the address bar at the top of the page?
Well, I got to go back.
www.something? All right, never mind. It's not a big deal. But the point here is, I don't know what you're looking at or where you're actually downloading it from. So if your software, if your web browser is telling you don't download it, my suggestion is don't download it.
Well, it also says, do you want to allow it? And I said, yes, allow it. And then it says it can't do it.
Well, again, Gert, I'm sorry, but I don't know where you are. This could be spyware that's pretending to be good stuff, and your system is saving you from it. Without knowing where you are, I can't give you an answer. I can't give you any logical, intelligent answer.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I wish I could help you, but if you can't tell me what page you're on, I'm afraid I can't tell you whether or not that's a legitimate program.
I'm on the Super Anti-Spyware main menu.
In the program or on the web page?
The program.
The actual program.
The actual program, okay.
And then it has six choices, scan for harmful software, schedule scanning, spyware definition updates, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, and then when you click on that, it brings you to a website, or it keeps you inside the anti-spyware program?
It says, bottom left, it says, find out what's running on your computer.
Yeah, I get that.
I click it, and it goes to File Research Center, find out what's running on your computer.
And that's still in the same program. It hasn't gone out of that program to a web browser.
If I knew that, I'd tell you.
Okay. All right. I'm horribly sorry, Gert. I wish I could help you with this, but without actually seeing your screen.
FileSearchCenter.com is another website.
Yeah. If that's where he is. Without actually seeing your screen, without knowing whether you've actually left the program, I apologize about not being able to help you. But somebody's got to, you got to get somebody to actually look at that screen and see whether or not you're still in the Super Anti-Spyware program or you've gone out of that program to something else.
You cannot use Firefox. You must use Internet Explorer with ActiveX to open that File Research Center. You're trying to run an ActiveX program, which you cannot run in Firefox.
Okay. So then I have to go to Internet Explorer.
I would say don't run it at all.
Oh, you got it. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, that I would suggest that you just... Yeah, I would suggest not. Just not.
It looks like it's a task manager to see what programs are running in your computer, and you already have... You already have that in the Windows Task Manager.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Right. If you were to, you know that little bar across the bottom with all the buttons that list the programs that are running?
Yeah.
If you right-click on an empty space there, not on one of the buttons.
Right.
On the empty space, you get a pop-up menu, and one of the choices is Task Manager.
Right.
That will show you the running programs. Now, you got to be very careful of that because it shows you a bunch of stuff you won't understand because it's the underlying heart of Windows that's running, and they don't explain that very well.
My.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of stuff in the background, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
But that's essentially the same list you would get from whatever this program is, because what's running is what's running, whether or not it's coming from one program or another.
Very good.
All righty.
Still Happy New Year.
And the same to you, my friend.
Still love you guys.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It looks like they do make a separate plugin for Firefox, but he's apparently going to the ActiveX page, not the Firefox page.
Right. It is, and I apologize. It is sometimes hard for us to envision what's on somebody else's screen. I hate to say it, but I guess that is what it is. I don't know. That's hard to do. But you know what? Before we go, we should once again mention the pancake breakfast.
Yes, we can't talk about that enough.
Well, we probably can from other people's point of view, but I don't think so.
Not ours.
Right.
And, oh, wait a minute. I think we have control of this, and we can talk about it as much as we want.
Oddly, we do. You're the guy with the buttons under your fingers.
Yep, yep. But I want to remind you folks, what Nick's talking about is saving the date, March 12th. And that
is Saturday, March 12th of this very year.
And for how much?
A mere $5, and listen to all you get.
You're going to get all-you-can-eat pancakes, sausage, juice, and coffee, and two forms of entertainment. And by that, I mean from 10 to 12, you're going to be able to hear and see the Polka Guys do their show live. Yep, they're not going to be hiding here in the studio. They're going to be out exposed in the cafeteria, so you will see all this going on right here live. And all you got to do is show up, like I say, from 10 to 1. They will be serving the pancakes and juice and all that type of stuff. But then from 12 to 2, you'll also be able to hear sound bites. And we're going to be doing our show live right there from the cafeteria. Again, you'll be able to get in on a lot of the shtick and see what goes on, except for me running the board. Because, oh, I get that day off. Well, I don't get it off, but I get to go to the cafeteria, and somebody else has to be in here running the board. But it should be a lot of fun. And I hear tell that, you know, we might even have some stuff to give away.
So let me get this straight. It's all you can eat pancakes, sausage, juice. It's live entertainment, both polka and sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
It's giveaways.
Yep.
And it's only $5 a piece.
And kids under five and under, eat free.
That's nuts.
And I mean, you can't.
Rob, what are you thinking?
Well, him and Laurel Ann, I mean, they are doing one heck of a job, you know, getting us out there and getting, you know, us the exposure and helping raise money for, remember, folks, this is member supported. Jazz 90.1. So, if, you know, you coming out, you're showing your support. And again, we're trying to get a little rivalry going here. And, you know, when you do call for your tickets that you can get as of January 24th, have them put a yellow stripe on it. And that's showing your support for sound bites. We want to see who can get more folks to come, sound bites or the poker show.
Poker show's been beating us on too many things, and I don't like it. So we need you to do this. Look, you're getting pancakes, for Pete's sake. Who doesn't like pancakes? Come and have pancakes. Come and listen to polka. Come and watch sound bites. And join the giveaways and do all that stuff.
One of the callers, Jim, just called in and said, well, I hear you talking about this pancake breakfast. Where is it?
That's a good question. Perhaps we should tell people.
And that is very easy. You can come right here to Greece Olympia High School. It's going to be in the cafeteria of Greece Olympia High School. And, I mean, it's so there's going to be plenty of room, and, you know, it's not going to be overcrowded. Plenty of parking, free parking. Unlike if it was the downtown, you'd have to pay for it.
$5 for all of that, and they park for free?
Yep. Doesn't get any better than that. And, you know, like I say, weather isn't going to be a factor as far as...
Wasting your money if you don't show up.
It's outside, you know, you have to worry about, oh, it's being canceled because, you know, it's outside and it's raining or that type of stuff. You know,
Can you possibly get more entertainment and food for $5?
You can't.
You can't.
Mm-mm.
You can't do it. So we need you to be here. Because, you know, as Dave said, we are a member-supported radio station. This is one of the ways that we support this station. We put on these little fundraisers fairly regularly in order to keep this station on the air. We don't get national money. We don't get state money. We don't get
no
city
grants,
money.
Nothing.
We don't get county money. What we get comes from you people, and it comes in two forms. One is people like Scott in Buffalo, Scott Williams, Bon Vibra, who was so generous in his donations in the name of Lolly. And that's great. We love to have people donate. But you can also come down, spend your little $5, and get an entire morning's worth of food and entertainment for a mere $5, and it's not even going to cost you to park your car. I don't know where else you get that. So please come and join us on March 12th right here at Greece Olympia High School. We're done for another week, so I want to thank Scott Williams, Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You've just wasted two entire hours of your life listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, but now the entire rest of your Saturday is free. Go forth and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. We will be back here next week, whether we want, I mean, rain or shine, right here on the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And that's Soundbites, right here on the truly great and member-supported Jazz 90.1. 90.1. Thanks for listening.